Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 203. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And I've got a bit of a special episode this week. We got our spoiler-filled review of the Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
As well as the latest episode of Game of Thrones. We'll talk about that a little bit. But first, we're going to do our summer movie preview, kick off the summer movie season. We each picked out about five movies that we're looking forward to. And I said summer is going to go through September. So yeah, anything coming out, you know, basically up until October 1st is fair game. I don't know. It felt good to me that way. And but before we get into any of that, I did want to mention right at the top, Chris, sad news this week, actually.
Yeah.
John Singleton, director John Singleton, he died yesterday. So it'd be April 29th after suffering a massive stroke, I guess the week before. You know, he was in a coma on life support. He died at the age of 51. So pretty sad. And I wanted to mention it too on the show because, you know, he might not have been doing a lot of big movies lately, in my opinion. You know, he's actually doing, I think, more TV work lately.
Yeah, he hasn't done a feature film in about 8 years.
Yeah. And however you feel about his career, he made Boys in the Hood at the age of 23. You know, it's kind of like, you know, did J.D. Salinger have any other hits besides The Catcher in the Rye? I don't know, but he wrote The Catcher in the Rye. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. It doesn't really matter. And I mean, like, I'm looking over this, like Poetic Justice, Higher Learning. Like
those are kind of big movies. Like, yeah. I remember seeing both of those, and I have not seen either of them since, but I remember really liking, Higher Learning at the time.
Yeah. I was drawing a blank. I really like Higher Learning now that I'm looking at it. What I saw, I was getting it mixed up with another film, but Higher Learning is great. Omar Epps, and
it doesn't get like the, like, you know, it's not like, it doesn't get the recognition that like Boys in the Hood gets, but it was good. I liked it at the time. I have not revisited that one in a while.
Four Brothers I liked. I remember liking. I haven't seen that in a while either, but
I think he kind of, like, you know, with his debut, I think that was his debut, right?
Yeah.
You know, he made a movie that's a classic it's a classic. It's like iconic of that era, but also, like, dude, if you lived through that time, you know, you remember how big a deal this movie was. So, anyways, yeah, wanted to mention that at the top. You know, didn't want to go on too long about it, but I do feel, you know, you make Boys in the Hood, you get a mention on a movie show
the
week you die. So, anyways, we're going to move on to way more fun stuff, hopefully. And I hope, I'm sure, a diverse list between us. Of, you know, stuff that we're looking forward to. I kind of ranked mine.
I have mine ranked. You asked me to give like a hype ranking.
Hype level.
I'm not sure I have that, but I do have them ranked in order of how excited I am to see them. So,
all right. Well, why don't we start off with your first pick, like starting with five.
With five. All right. That is it's a Brightburn, which is coming out May 24th. It's horror themed in a way. It's like horror. It's almost like a horror superhero theme on. I don't know. The trailers have seemed really have been really grabbing me.
Yeah.
I'm not like super big on it, but like I enjoy. Obviously, 200 and some episodes. We talk about horror a lot. This is a nice different twist on horror. So I'm interested to see how this one turns out. And I kind of wanted to give it a little bit of spotlight.
You know, it's so funny. I mean, we're going to be talking about this again in a second, but I'm looking at my list, and I did not realize this until just now. It's it could be argued it's all horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my number five is Midsommar, which is the new film from the writer director of Hereditary.
Yep.
I know you kind of fell in the middle on Hereditary, and I think I fell below other critics at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have not rewatched it, but you know, the time since like thinking about it, I feel like I got it wrong a little bit. I feel like I should have went a little higher almost, even though I gave it, I think, 4 stars.
Yeah.
Very interesting film, I think, at the very least. And you know, it's horror that's touching on like a nerve that, you know, it's like real life shit, kind of like Pet Sematary, you know, it's like,
yeah.
So I'm interested to see a follow up to that. Which is like, I don't know if you know the premise of this at all, but it
seems like a Wicker Man. Sort of, yeah, like some sort of cult film.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean,
makes sense, right?
Like, yeah, coming off of Hereditary, like there was definitely some cult action going on in that film. Yeah, it seems interesting. I am kind of interested because I kind of fell in love with Florence Pugh in Fighting With My Family earlier this year, so. She is one of the stars of this, so I'm interested to see where this goes.
Interesting. I didn't know that. we'll see. What if it's a cinematic universe?
Everything like this.
Right? All right, Chris, what's your number four?
My number four is... I don't know. I guess this is part of a cinematic universe. I'm not really sure. Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Ooh, almost made my list.
I enjoyed the last Godzilla movie. I enjoyed the King Kong movie, which kind of hinted that there was something larger going on. And the trailers for this have been exactly what I want out of a giant monster movie. Coming off of... trying to think of the other big kaiju movie that was out recently.
Pacific Rim?
Yeah. Like that was not satisfying.
Sequel to it.
Yeah. Pacific Rim 2 or whatever the hell it was called. Mm. It just was not satisfying in the way that you kind of want these movies to be. And this one looks like it's going all out. Like, you know, all the monsters of history, like all the big monsters that you grow up watching, Godzilla, Mothra, they're all here and they're wrecking shit. So,
you kind of blew my mind because I thought there was maybe 3 monsters in that new Godzilla, and then someone told me the other day, "Oh, there's a bunch." I was like,
"Oh yeah, there's a ton."
And then it didn't even occur to me that King Kong could be one of them because I thought that was a separate movie that's coming out. I thought there was a Godzilla versus King Kong coming out,
and so, there could be I don't know where it falls here, right? But Kong Skull Island was made by Warner Brothers, so was Godzilla 2014, which this
looks like a mashup.
And Godzilla King of the Monsters is very clearly a follow-up to that Godzilla movie from 5 years ago. So interested to see what this is. Like, I'm not sure if it's a cinematic universe thing going on, but this is kind of like the big budget movie that for fans of these type of monster movies have kind of wanted for a long, long time.
Yeah.
What do you got at number four?
No, I just wanted to add, also looking excited. I'm like really excited for that movie. And, now I'm more excited, I guess. Almost made my list, like I said. My number four is another horror film. And this one's called Ma. It's coming out May 1st.
Almost made my list, too.
It looks so fun. It's like Octavia Spencer as this like lady who buys beer for these kids and then lets them drink in their basement. But then she's crazy. So I'm like... we talked about this when the trailer first came out, actually, because that's how much I love the trailer. Because I'm like, it's such an awesome premise because it takes something that like high school kids do and makes it fucking scary. And just the idea of her playing the bad guy, and some of the brutality hinted at in the trailer of like, this looks like a blast. Like, I can't wait for it. It's coming out at the end of the month. So
yes, actually, same day as Godzilla.
So it's gonna be a fun week for doing movie dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you have at four? Right. Or three.
That was four. So three. June 7th, I guess this is the closer for the X-Men saga. Yeah, Dark Phoenix. I don't know. I am more excited for this than I was Endgame.
Yeah.
I know that people have issues with the X-Men films. Say what you will about them, though I've found most of them entertaining. And this is like, it seems like it's the culmination of everything that has been going on since that first X-Men movie, which, what, 20 years ago? Which kicked off this, like, renaissance of comic book films and hasn't let it go. it's kind of been nonstop since that first X-Men movie went big. And obviously with Fox, the film side of things being sold to Disney, they're going to try and incorporate the X-Men into what their plans for the Marvel cinema stuff is.
Ooh, I got in trouble talking about this week.
And I don't think they're going to move these ones over. So I think they're going to reboot.
It's going to be rebooted. Yeah.
Yeah. But I enjoy the X-Men stuff. I enjoy this particular group of actors playing these. I'm more invested in these characters than I am the Avengers.
Yes.
I'm excited to see how this ends. Yeah, it could be totally terrible, and there have been terrible X-Men movies, but I'm on board for this one. Like, Sophie Turner's great. Everything about this looks like it's going to hit the right notes for me.
I rewatched First Class this weekend, and mm-hmm. yeah, I agree with everything you said about how, like, I'm more invested in this story than anything in the MCU. And I think that, like, Fassbender and McAvoy are great in the roles. Like, exactly what you said. Like, I'm sad about the idea of, like, Fassbender's not Magneto anymore. I think he's so good at it.
Yeah.
I love
the other thing I love about this is, like, so they melt. So, like, First Class, like, kicked off a new era of.
Yeah, it was kind X-Men of like all movies. Mixed. Yeah, it's like weird.
And then they did this crazy thing where they melded the old ones with the new ones. So, like, you know, Fassbender and McAvoy are like the original, like with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Like, yeah.
They morph into those people over the course of everything. It's nuts. it's a great, like, hey, the MCU is this amazing thing that they did over 22 films. I think what the X-Men did is on that fucking level, it's batshit insane, but it's up there.
Sure, I'll go with that.
some nutty shit.
I mean, I'm with you, though. I'm like, yeah, I'm more excited. Like, and honestly, like, even if Dark Phoenix is bad, it looks like it would be a fun bad movie, so
yeah.
I'm all in for it.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, what was with the X-Men Last Stand? Like, it's a bad movie, but it's fun.
I enjoyed it.
So goofy.
You know what? I do have yet to see Apocalypse, but I think I'm gonna do like. I mean, I think I'm gonna like watch through like these recent ones again. I'm gonna watch like Days of Future Past, and then I watch Armageddon. Yeah. I mean,
you throw Logan in there too, because technically that takes place in this timeline.
I mean, I throw Logan in there just because.
Just because it's an excellent movie.
Yeah. All right. My number three, Chris, you already mentioned May 24th, Brightburn.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it looks like fucking Man of Steel meets fucking Michael Myers or some shit. Like,
nutty.
The trailers are great. The concept is great. I hope this movie is great. Yeah, more excited about it than any actual like comic book shit. What's your number two, Chris?
Number two, because you threw in September,
Uh-huh.
I had to include this because Chapter One was one of my favorite films of 2 years ago.
I think it was your favorite, wasn't it?
Maybe. if it wasn't, it was like certainly very high up on my list.
If it wasn't one, it was two.
Yeah.
So I seem to remember it being one.
It Chapter Two, September 6th, which for me is like that's right on the cusp of like that that summer film.
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know, August is kind of like the dead days of summer films. It's like the, you know, the dead zone in a way, but it's like I just feel it just felt better to me to include it. And to me, it doesn't feel like the fall films start until October. Like once you hit mid October, that's when you
get fall films. That's when you start getting the Oscar bait films. And so I mean, It Chapter Two. Looking forward to see how they end this one. I don't know how they follow up what turned out to be like a great 80s theme kind of movie with something that has to be obviously more modern because you have to get the advanced time because these are adults and not kids. So it's not going to have that Goonies feel. But I'm interested to see how they play this out.
It's going to be harder to pull off. It is also my number two as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm just going to throw out my hype level, like just get an idea here. I'd say everything from three down is about a seven. I'd say it is about an eight. You know, I'm more excited.
I think I'm excited to see all these films, but it's a little bit more than maybe the ones that we've already talked about.
But I have one higher still. Like I would put it a nine, I'd say. But let's hear yours first. What's your number one like of the summer?
All right, so you're probably gonna like choke. So make sure you're not drinking anything while. But
I'm scared.
the film I'm most looking forward to this summer is Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh my god! Yeah, right.
Good. It is. I mean, I super love The Rock and Jason Statham. I think that they are perfectly cast together. This looks like batshit insane Mission Impossible. Idris Elba is great. Like these films are always fun. Like Fast and Furious is a fun spectacle movie. But this looks like it's, turning it around and going like in a different direction.
Are you saying this is serious?
I don't think it's serious. Like, have you seen the trailers? Like, it's certainly not serious. But it is not like, I don't know. There's a different vibe to this. This is more like a fun spy movie than like goofball. Like, I mean, they have certainly turned Fast and Furious into a spy type thriller.
More so, than like it started off as like a Point Break type thing.
I mean, it was very much a Point Cops Break undercover. And as time has gone on, they've almost become like superheroes with cars. This looks more like a Mission Impossible movie, though, with a very steady stream of humor because Jason Statham and The Rock have great chemistry and great delivery on things. And they could not have picked two better characters to kind of spin off and do something else. If you did not call this Fast and Furious, I would still be interested in it. Just because of the two main, guys you have going at it here. And then Idris Elba as the villain. Like, this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm willing to give it a chance because of that. No way. But, maybe that'll be enough for me. Like, hey, we're going to focus on the two best fucking dudes in this. Yeah. It's going to be like a kind of a different thing.
like I like Vin Diesel and those guys too, but like, These are the two best characters. They're the two best actors as well in the entire series. Yeah. So, what do you got at your number one?
My number one is July 26th. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm like at a nine for this. It's Quentin Tarantino, dude. He hasn't let me down yet. I'll take that back. Inglourious Bastards aside, he hasn't let me down yet.
Are you okay with Death Proof?
Yes, I'm okay with it. Like, I don't like it.
Okay.
Like, I don't... Like, I didn't... I feel where you're coming from, but I feel like it's one of those movies where I'm like one rewatch away from being like...
where you're going to turn on it, feel like, yes.
Yeah, like, because, like, there's so much going on in that in terms of style that I dig.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That, I could, you know, and you got, what's his name in the lead? Fuck, look at
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, you know, come on. I'll take it over Inglourious Bastards. I'll tell you that. I can tell you that off the top of my head.
Sure. I mean, it's shorter.
It doesn't always feel shorter though.
No. Yeah, there. It is a slow go. Like, I think once you get to the back half of of Death Proof, like the chase sequence is phenomenal, and he has a great sense of style to it. Inglourious Bastards is just 2.5 hours of. Well,
and so. For this film that's coming out, I guess it's about like the Manson murders, I guess.
Yeah.
But also like kind of that era in Hollywood. I'd never been like super hyped up about the idea of this being his ninth film or whatever. Just because I like him working in just pure fiction, like doing what he wants to do. I have a feeling this is going to end up being a lot of that, but also with all this insider knowledge shit. My long way of getting to, like, I'm never not going to be super stoked to see what the new Tarantino film is. Especially considering, like, we're only going to get a limited number of them, supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, there were rumors that this might be his last one, right? Like, because he's...
I don't know. That. I thought that there was maybe one or two more. And he's also long talked about how he wants to do, like, a horror film and this and this and that. Although he kind of did with... From Dusk Till Dawn.
Right.
Anyways, point being, you know, I'm always going to be interested in Tarantino. The little teaser trailer that's out there got me pretty fucking hyped about it. Like, just seeing, like, you know, DiCaprio work with him. Like, I find that super exciting because, you know, DiCaprio's mostly worked with Scorsese for, like, the last decade, it seems like.
Yeah. He was in... Django Unchained, which that was probably what.
Oh, yeah. And that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, duh. But, like, yeah, I think he might be a bigger role here.
I mean, he's on the cover of the poster.
Yeah. So. I can't believe I just, like, that slipped my mind that they worked on Django. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Django, but it's like, you know, that shit's turned into memes and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I'd be excited to see him team up with him again, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like great talent coming together. So, yeah, I'm stoked. I'm, you know, despite the fact that it's like based on a true story that I don't find that interesting, it's the new film from Tarantino. So
it seems like it's going to be like, I mean, it takes place around the Manson murders.
Yeah. Like, it's, I think it's, it, feel like the trailer makes it feel like it's more about Hollywood in that era.
Well, it's about I guess it's about like this. I mean, the synopsis I'm reading here is that a television star Rick Dalton and his longtime stunt double make their way around the changing industry that they hardly recognize anymore. This is in 1969. So
interesting.
I mean, Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate.
Yeah, so
it obviously has something to do with the Manson.
It could be totally its own.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's like, because the way the press was covering it was like, it's a Manson movie. And it's like, well, that's just an easy way of explaining it to people, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's
like in that era.
It's the ninth love letter to filmmaking that Tarantino is like. I mean, that gets confusing. People don't quite understand that. But like, hey, this is when it is. It takes place during the Manson murders. Okay. We understand that. Got it.
But it's like, I guess, you know, beyond that, for me, like, it's a little bit less interesting. Like, I think movies about movie making are slightly less interesting than then, you know, like everything else he's done has just been about, you know, basically crime shit or whatever. Like, I don't know, but I'm still like, again, it's my number one, so I don't know why I'm qualifying it so much. No, I'm excited.
You don't need to qualify it. It's it is sure to be a entertaining piece, regardless.
So those are our picks. I mean, there's a lot of shit coming out this summer.
There's just stuff that, like, I mean, Detective Pikachu, like, I know that's not goofy, but, like, that's something I'm, like, pretty excited to go see. But, like, we only had five slots here. John Wick 3.
There's a lot.
We talked about Ma and Godzilla. Late Night looks good.
It looks bad. It honestly looks terrible to me, but Child's Play, I'm excited. This is probably going to be terrible, but I want to see it. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't touch on Toy Story 4. I'm sure that'll be
great,
entertaining. Yeah. Annabelle Comes Home. Like, I don't know. Like, it's, I am interested in it, but, because I kind of like that universe that it's set in, but, those Annabelle movies have been hit or miss. Like,
the Conjuring universe movies have been hit or miss, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know that The Curse of La Llorona is,
I didn't
part of that.
I mean, I knew it was, produced by James Wan. I did not know it was part of that either.
They try to tie it in.
Did you see the trailer for 21 Bridges in front of Avengers?
No.
So that is, it's directed by Brian Kirk, but it is produced by the Russos. Stars Chadwick Boseman as a detective. They closed down, like, the bridges in New York. Like, there's 21 bridges in and out of New York, so they closed them all down to, like, get these cop killers. It looks like a fun, like, action movie.
That sounds like an 80s action movie, dude.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's like that, and that's the vibe of that trailer. So there's a bunch of stuff that, like, this looks like it's going to be a good summer. Maybe not a great summer, but a good summer.
I think, you know, if some of these things, I think if, like, Godzilla turns out to be as fun as the trailer is, like, yeah, that could be a great summer.
Yeah.
One other one I want to throw out there, I don't expect it to be very good, but Rambo Last Blood.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. Like, I don't know. Like, that's going to close out the summer, I think.
and there is one that I wanted to mention also that does not have a release date, but it's possible that does drop in the summer. So I did want to mention it, because if we did have a release date and say it was coming out August, whenever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be my number one for sure. And that is Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. That's coming sometime this year. That would
definitely have been on my list.
It's in posts right now, and if I were him, I would want it out. If you're not going to make the summer, then, like, right around Halloween. Sounds like a fun, like, Halloween time movie. And I'd be sad if it somehow hit August or some shit.
August and I did not mention pretty packed.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, I don't even know how big of a release it's going to be. If it's going to be like a VOD type thing, I really don't know.
Yeah, I really hope that like, I want to see that in theater.
I want to see it in the theater, and I hope it does great. Like, but no matter what, the fact that it's, like, made, like, you know, he's basically editing it right now, and it's for sure going to happen. Like, it makes me so happy because I love those movies. We both do. You know?
Yeah.
So if that does come out, that's, like, definitely my number one. It's going to end up being, I guarantee you, like, one of my favorite movies of the year, just because.
Oh, for sure. Like, Kevin Smith, great dialogue, great sense of humor.
Heart. His movies have heart.
Yeah.
Like, more than anything. I was like, the dude wears his heart on his sleeve. So I'm excited for it.
Is there a trailer out for Last Blood?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I did see, like, him. I saw Stallone post, like, a little clip, like, of them, like, working behind the scenes or whatever, but.
I mean, I will say,
I'd love to see.
I like the Rambo 4, which was probably one of
the best. It was ultra violent. Yeah, it was like 2008, dude.
Yeah. But I like that movie a ton.
It was so ridiculous. It was like,
oh, yeah.
One of the most, like, before the Raid, it was like one of the most shockingly violent movies in a long, long time.
Yep.
So I hope they keep that vibe. And I don't even know what it's about or whatever, but God, you can do crazy things with it. Yeah, we'll see.
Yep.
So that's our, you know, our picks of summer, and we did have a pretty good diverse list. So, well, let's officially kick off the summer then here.
With, I guess it's still April. We're recording this in April.
Hey, man, if it's gonna be one of the top box office films of the summer, I think you gotta say.
It is going today. So we are recording very early this week.
It's gonna be number one. Is what you're saying.
By the end of Tuesday, while we're recording this, which is 5 days since its release, it will be the number one grossing movie in the United States. Like, coming into today, it was at $393 million over 4 days. Five, I guess, if you include Thursday previews. And Captain Marvel was at 414, and I can't imagine it's not going to make $20 million today. So,
yeah.
It is already at $1.3 billion worldwide. And that is the highest grossing film of the year so far.
So you're saying it's kind of popular.
I think some people might like it.
Around these parts, I don't know as much. You know, if you're a listener of the show, you know that. I'm not a huge fan of these films, and Chris, you generally like them, but like, you're not like, oh my God, you know, you're not like,
no,
you know, we have friends. Yeah. I have friends that like, I honestly feel like maybe the only movies they watch are Marvel movies. Cause like they dissect these things to death. And I'm not one of them. And, so this is going to be an interesting view, I guess for me, but, I'll let you take the reins a little bit to start here. Like, get us started talking about this.
All right, yeah. Well, I guess we should say we are going to get into spoilers. So, like,
yes,
I'll give a brief rundown of what the Avengers is. Maybe we can kind of just give our.
I'll give score and shit at the top, yeah.
and then we're just going to go in. We're going to talk Game of Thrones at the end. Like, it's going to be spoilers right after we give our score. So,
yeah.
Avengers Endgame is the 22nd. Film, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which started 11 years ago with Iron Man. It is the culmination of all of that, and the end of the kind of cliffhanger ending of Infinity War, which, spoilers for that, a bunch of people died. And that's kind of where this film starts off. Like, the half of everybody is gone. There's some heroes left, weirdly enough, like the five core Avengers from the original film, but, they're all there, and their quest is to, kind of get the Infinity Stones back, which are these magic kind of stones that, granted Thanos the ability to snap some people away. And, they go on what basically is a time heist. And then have a giant fight. Like, it is a big budget 3-hour action movie with a lot of characters and callbacks to 21 prior movies.
I take objection to the part of that. It's not an action movie.
No?
Where? When?
I mean, there's literally a 40-minute action scene.
It must have been when I dozed off, because I felt like there was a very little action.
I mean, there's like the final battle is 40 minutes long. it is a third of this film. So did you miss that part?
Just half watching.
Okay. All right.
Mentally checked out.
I would actually classify this more of an adventure movie, actually.
It feels
in the sense of how it's structured this time around, but
it feels like the end of a soap opera or something. I don't know. It's
it's the end of a comic book run.
Yeah, it's very good. God, I don't know. Look, I didn't. Let's do.
Let's get into it.
I'm just gonna give my short first impressions. Like, I didn't hate it. I liked it more than Infinity War. It's fine. It's not for me. It's too long. I don't think it stands. I still don't think it stands as a movie on its own. I don't think it stands even as a movie with Infinity War as its counterpart. I think it's bloated and it like almost collapses under the bloat. But there's like good things about it, and I'm giving it a 3.
So I think it's head and shoulders better than Infinity War.
Which I think I gave it 2, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think I may have given it a 3. Like, I think that is a broken film that relies way too much on prior knowledge. Like, there is a lot of callbacks here, I think, in Endgame, but I actually disagree that it doesn't stand on its own in some sense. Yes, we'll get into it, because I think it does a better job of setting itself up. Yeah, sure. You're going to be confused if you come into this and this is the only film that you have seen. But I think it does an okay job of kind of setting up what the stakes were early on and where they're going with it, but we'll save that for spoilers. I liked it more. I have issues with it. It is not a perfect film. It is maybe a half hour too long, possibly more. But I was satisfied with how it ended. And kind of glad that it kind of puts a close on this era of Disney Marvel's cinema stuff. I'm going to give it a 4. And with that, we're going to move on to some spoilers.
I just want to say that, when I say that it doesn't work on its own as a film, I don't just mean that, it may be confusing if you haven't seen the other ones. I mean that it relies emotionally on like, it doesn't, like, it just feels like the last episode of a TV show or something, where it's just like,
yeah,
you have to know everything. Like, yes, you could figure out, like, I will say this, like, it does a way better job of giving you a grasp of what the plot is,
yes,
than Infinity War, even.
And,
like,
and that to me was where I was coming at it. Like, Infinity
War. No, yeah, I get like, that. But yeah, like, I'm just saying that, like, as a movie, like, beyond that, it doesn't stand on its own.
Sure. And I mean, I guess it's hard to like that. That's, I think you saying that this feels like the end of a season of television. That is maybe the best analogy of it, is like,
it feels somehow like a series finale almost.
Yeah. Somehow Marvel has,
this is what it is.
It's duped us into watching a 3-hour, 2.5, 3-hour episodes every couple months of their ongoing season of Marvel heroes that have it's an 11-year running season, like longest running season ever. This is the end of that. I don't recommend going in blind, but if you have seen a few of them, I think you can probably pull. I mean, there are very, very key ones I think you have to have seen.
But well, it's like, yeah, dude, you could get by with glancing knowledge to get into this, because it's like, it does a decent job of setting it up. And I think, honestly, I think the opening scene of the film is one of the best scenes in the whole film. I think it's really cool. With
Hawkeye and his family.
Yes, because first of all, I feel like I haven't seen him in like 8 movies.
It's been a while.
And it was a really kind of powerful, kind of almost darker than you'd expect feel from a Marvel thing, even though, Infinity War did have a dark ending.
And don't get me wrong. It immediately sets up the stakes of like what's going on. Like
it's this is like The Leftovers of, yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen that TV show. It's like these people dealing with like a traumatic thing that happened. But here's like, yeah, it's like the setup. It's like right as he loses his family. Really, kind of powerful scene. I thought it was really good. And it's like, it gives you a good grasp into, like, And if you even haven't even seen Infinity War, you've heard somewhere, oh, Thanos snapped his fingers.
Right. And I mean, if you've been on the internet in the last year, you've seen the memes of like people turning to dust, and you kind of understand what the concept here is.
But all right, like hear me out.
Yeah.
My problem is like, all right, so it's like it has a good like easing you into the story, and like you can kind of get grasp it even without like an expert knowledge. The problem is, as it goes on, it has the same problem I have with like games like GTA, where all of a sudden there's like so many strands out of nowhere, and it's like I just get lost in the minutia after that, where it's like there's so many characters for one, and so many fucking things that they're like they feel like they have to pay off. I'm just like, once we get into that like second act of we're doing Back to the Future 2, like it's a really fun idea, but all of a sudden I just get lost in the minutia of that, where I'm just like, oh god, I don't know, like whatever.
Which,
you know, this is a montage that you're turning into an hour of the film,
which is insane. The fact that like you're coming at this going like, there are like they have killed off more than half of the people in the 21 films previously, and this is still bloated with characters. Like, you know, you're still throwing in Rhodey, you're throwing in Nebula, Captain Marvel fucking shows up, Rocket's around. Like, it's not even that core five. Like, they now all have like teammates with them as well.
It's a lot, dude. That's one of those things. Like what I'm saying, where it's like it doesn't work as a movie. Like it's just too much. It's not the right format. The right format is probably a comic book.
which is where I think this thrives as well. I think like obviously this format, you know, I think it's a decent adaptation, and I find it entertaining. But yeah, it is way better suited to, you know, art on a page, and a monthly format of this than like here's a 3-hour dump, of content. I don't know. So let's get into some specifics, I guess, with it though. So obviously you were not on board with the people that were left over. Still too many.
it's a lot no matter what. Yes.
What did you come out thinking? Like, did you enjoy like the time heist type thing? Like,
here's what I liked. I liked the idea like of doing the Back to the Future 2 thing, of going back into the other movies, especially even me kind of viewing as like kind of an outsider, like I was thinking about like if you're a super fan of these movies, to see them going through them all is like a really cool thing, right?
Yeah.
And I really loved what they did with Thor.
Thor's phenomenal in this, like
very funny, like very like you got his character right away and relatable to me. But like,
well, it's also great. Like I think that they show like from the get go, like he kills Thanos, like he kills Thanos right at the beginning, like, and it's like, man, I fucked up, like I am just a giant fuck up, and he goes and drinks as much beer as he can and plays Fortnite for 5 years.
You know, and he's, you know, he's, you know, got the beer belly, and yeah, he's just drinking beer and stuff, and it's like, again, I found that super relatable.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I don't know if you saw this. You're not on Twitter nearly as often as I am, but there was some article about fucking, like, this guy felt fat-shamed by the character or some shit. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm recognizing myself on the screen. I was not offended whatsoever.
Like, I've heard the complaints about fat-shaming with it as well, and it's like, I don't...
As a member of the fat community...
Right.
I'm not offended.
but like, I think it's like totally, like, I don't think it was anything like, oh, he was fat. Like it was more.
The joke was he had given up and he was drunk.
Like he would,
which again, up, I guess, you
he
know,
drank a fucking lot. Yeah. He, and like, hey, here's the thing. You sit around playing, like I proof positive of this.
Exactly.
You sit around playing video games for 5 years, drinking all the time.
you're gonna put a little bit of weight on.
Just comes with the job, man.
Right.
So and like it was just very funny because I didn't see that coming. You know, like it was a surprise to me. I was like, ha ha, it's hilarious. Or like Thor's like me now. You know,
what when it's a. He provides,
and he's great at it. He's just a funny guy.
Yeah. Hemsworth is
he's great awesome at
comedic delivery, but he provides like Thor as a character provides great comedic tone to the film because everybody else is so fucking dour, and rightly so. Like shit's gone really bad, but you know when Rocket is the straight man to Thor, like things have gone
yeah. One other thing I like that like I don't see anyone saying, and like I talked to one of my friends about it and he was like the complete opposite of me. I really liked the Hulk in it. I really liked Mark Ruffalo's performance because it finally got to shine through the green shit, you know, like
yeah.
So I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
my friend was
like the complete opposite. He thought it sucked. I was like, I don't know.
I heard somebody call him Bulk because he's like Bruce and the Hulk yeah. together. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it gave Hulk more character than just like, oh, Hulk smash, or like, you know, Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner and being the smart guy always trying to like fight off. Like he just embraced it and now he's like a giant green dude all the time. But he's able to like give a solid performance.
Yeah, like and, Ruffalo's performance still shines through.
Yeah.
I really dug that.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
So I don't know. What about you? I mean,
I like Tony Stark's arc in this. He has been the central figure for me since like for this entire series.
I can't believe people cried at this. Did you cry at this?
No, but okay. I mean it was like it wasn't shocking. Like I wasn't like but it is like there is an emotional pull when he goes down and it wasn't so much him dying. It was like when Pepper sits down next to him and just kind of says like, you know, you can rest now. It's like everything that's been going on, all of his mistakes, all of his successes have been to like protect people. And he finally got that done. So I think like it was a decent emotional payoff for people that are fans of the character.
Oh, it
you were not on board with that.
It's just this whole thing. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say something like way meaner, but I'm just not. But I'll say, like, to me, like, come on, you put this next to like Logan, like ending of Logan. It's like the same thing, but just like so much more powerful, I felt, in Logan. What I'm gonna say is like it feels here like this is contrived and manufactured, and here's the ending that you expected and you deserved, and we're gonna coddle you like a little baby and wrap you in a blanket, and it's the predictable ending.
Well, I thought expecting anything different than like
I mean that's the problem.
But is it?
I thought Captain America's ending was way more interesting than Tony Stark's.
Also, we could touch on that because Cap is an asshole. the dude goes and fucks up an entire timeline so he can get his happy time. Fuck you. Fuck that. Fuck Steve Rogers. I don't know. I was like, I would have preferred Cap dying, but.
It just, all right, look, dude, you know, those two were going to be written out one way or another. Captain America is old now, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tony Stark's dead. You know, coming in that like, look, they're not coming out of this. Like, however they end it, like they're not coming out of this. I thought Iron Man's arc through the whole series though was bookended well, like with his final act, his final words, and how I it worked for me.
What were his final? I don't even remember anymore.
He's like I am Iron Man. Like when oh. like Thanos like snaps his fingers and goes, I am inevitable.
Oh yeah, that was
awesome. And he had taken
it's
the
good line. It's a good line.
Yeah, and I mean that was the end line of the first Iron Man movie.
Was it?
Like he gets in front of everybody and reveals that he is Iron Man. And that's, you know, it was a nice callback to that. Like if you've not seen those movies, like you're not going to get that. There's a lot of there's a ton of Easter eggs in here that are, you know, tying back to other things. And I enjoyed the time heist through the different films.
I was digging it, but like, do you get what I'm saying when like I say like it has that GTA effect where it's like there's too many side small things that I get lost where I'm just like, all right, now what are these characters doing? I don't remember, you know, like.
So I thought they actually did a pretty good job of laying that out. Like they go through, like, I mean, they do what a good heist movie does. Like they give you the planning stage. Like they give you that.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. Like Tony and Cap and Hulk and Ant-Man are going to go to, was it 2012? Like when the Avengers took place, they're going to go here. And then Hawkeye and, you know, Black Widow are going to go with War Machine and Nebula out into space, and they're going to split off and do the Guardian shit. And then Thor and Rocket are going to go basically back to Asgard and handle that. Like I thought they explained it pretty well. The Guardian shit got a little like,
I just I think this is where if you're just like a movie fan and you want to see a movie, this is where it starts to feel bogged down, and it could have been a montage. And if you're watching this as a serialized drama that you're super invested in, you're totally into this. Like you're eating up all the details,
which I think is how this is expected to be considered.
I know, and it is like, but it's just my problem is, like I've watched most of these movies, and I'm not super into any of them. So it's just like, it's hard for me to invest in number 22 when every single one of them I've walked away with my hands up and giving it a 3. You know, like it's, I'm just like, yeah, that's an okay formula for like a friendly, safe action or like superhero movie. But it's not, it's like fucking chicken that has no spices on it. Like, anyways.
So, yeah, I enjoyed the time heist stuff. I liked how they like interacted in the scenes from the film. I enjoyed Thor talking with his mom. I thought that was pretty good. From the Dark World, and I was not a huge fan of like Black Widow and Hawkeye like having their who gets to kill each other battle.
Yeah,
seemed pretty dumb. And Iron Man and War Machine and Nebula, like I actually found that to be pretty amusing. Like it's like hit a Star Lord over the back of the head, knock him out while he's in the middle of his.
They call him like an idiot or something.
Yeah, he's basically a fucking moron.
Oh, he's an idiot. It was just like it is funny to like see that scene out of the context of the way it is shot in Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's just like just this fucking guy prancing around and going circles and shit. That's and like, they're all just like looking at him like, what the fuck?
This guy's a moron.
Yeah.
I like how they kind of bring Gamora back. I thought that was interesting, and the stuff they did with Nebula was good. And then it gets into, I guess, what is like the longest fucking climax ever. Which I wasn't on board with.
Oh, really?
It was 40 minutes of fucking hot potato. Like, they're just running around, like, throwing the fucking gauntlet from character to character so everybody gets their moment in the sun.
Maybe that's why I don't remember it, because, like, again, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a memorable action sequence, you know? When you think of, like, great action, like, sequences, you think of something like The Matrix on the freeway, or... fucking Winter Soldier on the freeway was amazing. Right. Like, I don't remember anything from this. There's no big action scenes in Infinity War or this that I remember. Maybe there are technically some, but I just don't remember them. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like this is a 40-minute long action sequence, like with fucking ships blowing up and giant battles, and but it does start to blend, and it's interesting. So we're gonna, you know, talk about Game of Thrones shortly. But one of the things that the guys who create the kind of the showrunner for Game of Thrones at the end of the episode this past week, they're talking about how, like, you know, if you're going to do a big battle sequence and you know it's going to be this long battle sequence, like, you need to kind of have, like, breaks here and there to keep people
with it.
And I think they do a pretty good job in that. Here, it's like it was just nonstop. Like, and I don't know, 5 minutes in, I'm like, it just all started to blend together.
And honestly, it looks so computer generated and shit anyways that it's kind of just like looking at a screensaver or something. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, I found there were a couple moments in there that I thought were pretty cool, like when a cat picks up Mjolnir. And like Thor has a good line, like it's like I knew it, like that he could do it, like so like that. There's a funny scene where they both call back, and Cap ends up with Stormbreaker, and Thor ends up with the hammer, and it's like switch, like you take the tiny one, not me. Like, so it's like it was like cool, funny things like that, but everything else was like I don't know, like Captain Marvel shows up, Spider-Man shows up, like there's lots of shit blowing up and people running around and swinging and flying. And
I did have to look up how Captain America was able to pick up Thor's hammer or whatever. I was like, I didn't get that part. I was like, what is going on here?
So
I looked at it, it sounded like it's because it's like worthiness. And yeah, like, yeah. And then he's worthy. I get it. It's like an enchantment on the
hammer. Yes. That means,
yeah. That's interesting. That's cool, actually. I think that's pretty
and
cool.
And
it's
like, and
it's just the, it's one of those things where it's like it's so much information, and then right. Again, that they didn't bother to explain it, they expect you to know, and it's like I don't know that, so they
don't explain it in this film. They do talk about the hammer and how like there's like I think it's in Age of Ultron where they're all getting drunk at the beginning.
And they can't pick it up.
Trying to pick it up.
Yeah, but it's like, that's all I know about it.
Yeah,
like,
and Cap doesn't try.
How the fuck? Oh, really? He doesn't try?
Yeah, I don't believe that he tries or he acts like he can't pick it up. And Vision, actually, after Vision is created, he can pick it up, which was like, kind of surprising. But yeah, like it was this moment of like, yeah, Captain America's worthy. Which was kind of cool, I guess. It was cool, like seeing like Wanda like kick Thanos' ass for a short period of time before he calls in like the ship to blow everything up. But yeah, it's as you said, it's this giant computer generated landscape that is just there's so much going on, and it starts to become like sensory overload. That up until like you know. It starts to wrap up where Thanos finally gets the glove back that is like, all right, things are going to go down. And then like, I thought the Tony stuff hit emotionally well. And, you know, I thought that worked. I thought the wrap up worked for the most part. But yeah. I really wish that maybe this was like maybe a half hour shorter.
Oh fuck. It could have been, it's weird. Cause like, I'm not going to tell you what – I mean, I'd cut from the second act. But, yeah, I'd cut it from by an hour. But, again, it's not for me. So I feel like, you know, you gotta take my review as it is, like, who I am. Like, so if you're a person like me that thinks the Marvel movies are kind of fucking suck, I'm right. Probably accurate for you. But, like, I think most people are really into this saga and they're into they're invested in this like a TV show. And as like, you know, as a conclusion to that TV show, you know, I can look at it even as an outsider and go, well, that's pretty good. Like they did a pretty good job. And, like it's very safe and it very much feels right for what it is, but also they didn't drop the ball. So right. I come in at three. It's fine.
Ball's not dropped. I think that like as I enjoyed a little more than you. Like I enjoyed the series a little more than you as well.
Yeah.
And I think this works like as the end game of everything they've been building up to in the MCU up to this point. Sure. Yeah, it works. I don't know how you ever top this. And like, they're continuing on. Like, there's a new movie coming out in what, 2 months? Like Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's
after this, like, new season starts immediately.
Like, people are almost like, people are all like, hashtag, you know, thank you. Like, what was it? Like, thanks to the Avengers, or I don't know, some shit. It's like, dude, it ain't over.
No.
What was that? Conan O'Brien put out a tweet. He was like, I can't believe this is the last Avengers movie until the next Avengers movie.
that's pretty much accurate.
You know?
I do, and I get where some people are coming at, like, going, like, this is their generation, Star Wars, but it's something different. Like I don't know. And I guess we'll have to see if in 40 years every fucking big blockbuster film is a tie together, like if they're all doing decade-long seasons. But like, Star Wars was something so different, like, and it literally changed the way films and big budget box office movies were made. I don't know if Avengers will do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no denying that, you know, Marvel has had a huge impact on the industry. There's no denying. There's no denying it. In fact,
no.
It brings out resentment in me. I'm being honest. Like, I'm just like, I'm one of those people where I look at, like, it makes me mad that people care about this shit more than like other movies. Like, but, I don't know where I was going with that. But...
So you're just angry.
Yeah. No, but it's just like, you know, there's no denying, but it's like, I do think that in a way to also, again, not, I'm taking sides, I guess, but like, what, you know, George Lucas did is more impressive in a lot of ways. It's like, he invented a whole universe out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, that's no one the had other any thing, right?
Like, to. Like, yeah. no one was going to see Star Wars and like, oh, I hope they're going to handle Luke Skywalker right and whatever. It's like, no one had any idea what the fuck this right. was.
Like,
and it was a huge. It just,
that to me is where, like, where the Avengers and, you know, even the DC stuff, like, none of that is ever going to reach that same height for me, because I experienced that stuff prior. Like, I've seen, you know, one of our favorite games, you know, we talk about on the game podcast is that Marvel Ultimate Alliance, like, as a game. And that was before this started. Like, so, like, it wasn't like we weren't exposed to the Avengers and comic book characters before this, like Star Wars, Alien, you know, like that stuff was original and came from somewhere else.
It's like, they are like, they're film. Marvel is comic books adapted to film. Like, right. it's just a difference. It's just a different thing, I think.
And I get, you know? Like, for some people, like, you know, they're young enough, they weren't exposed to comics, like, so they don't have that relationship with it. There are people that have never read a Harry Potter book, and like, to them, like, that Harry Potter series is
film,
the be all end all of everything for them. To me, it's like, it's an adaptation of a good book series. It's a good film series, but like, it doesn't blow me away. Like, it's not something that you come into completely fresh. But I do understand younger people coming at this and being completely invested with it. Like, I forget, like, look at it. Like, I was still in my 20s when this started. Well, like, I am now 40.
See, like, that's a nuance I hadn't thought of, because I had always just assumed that even, like, the young people that, like, were into these movies, like, read the comics. But, like, who am I kidding? That's not right.
No, like, I mean, my son is...
Even when we were kids, like, not everyone read the fucking... No. Whatever comic movies came out then. Like, not everyone read Batman and to go see Batman.
Right, and I mean... And
that got me into the comics with seeing the movie, actually.
Right, and I mean, Batman, Superman also, like, there's a longer lineage there. I mean, you go back, like, there's the Batman TV show and the Superman TV show and, you know, that type of stuff. And there is, like, you know, there's Spider-Man cartoons and, you know, there's been films and TV shows that deal with some of this stuff as well. But like for someone like my son who's 13, like when the first movie of this came out, he was 2. Like his experience with what yeah. Marvel is through these movies. So I can see people getting attached in that way.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, it doesn't work on that level, and it's fine.
it's not something I could actually get mad about. It's whatever. If that's how you feel about them, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you found something that you enjoyed.
And it's like, I don't mean that to sound condescending. Like,
no, I honestly want people to enjoy shit, and I'm glad that you found something that you enjoy in this. Even if it doesn't click, like it clicks more for me than it does for you, but like it doesn't click. Like I am not on that same passion level that some of these people are. I find them to be fun, formulaic popcorn movies that honestly, when we are done talking about this tonight, I will probably mostly flush from my mind.
That's my problem with it, especially the Marvel movies. Like, you're already like, there's a 40-minute action scene. Like, there is.
Right, you've already flushed it from your mind.
Could fool me, man.
And the other thing, I was talking about this with someone today. Like, I go back and watch, like, you know, I'll go back and watch Star Wars or Alien or Jurassic Park, and which, mind you, also an adaptation. But like, those are things that like have resonated with me, and I'll go back and watch them. Even the Marvel films I most like, I generally don't have any desire to go back and rewatch.
100%. Dude, I've seen fucking Mandy almost 5 times or whatever at this point.
Right.
I have rewatched Winter Soldier, and I'll probably watch that one again because
it's a good movie. Like, I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy a couple times and Iron Man a couple times, but like for the most part, like, I don't know. If I ever see Endgame again, I'll be very surprised. Like, it's
no, fuck, dude. Any of these Avengers movies, dude, honestly, maybe the first one, but everything after that, like, they're the worst bloat. Like, you know, you have the standalones like Black Panther that are pretty fun, you know, but fuck no, dude.
Yeah, enjoy Captain Marvel. Like, you know, there's stuff there, but I don't know. There's so much other stuff to watch, too.
True. Like Game of Thrones, segue.
Yeah. So, Game of Thrones, Jeff.
Episode 3, the big old, I think it's called The Long Night or some shit.
Isn't that the name of it? Right.
Yeah. So. The Battle of Winterfell. I thought it was mostly pretty fun.
Yeah.
I have complicated thoughts on these things, kind of.
I've seen some of your social media posts.
I mean, the things I'm saying, I'm echoing what other people are saying, but it's like what I felt at the time too. It's like, this is super fun. This is so satisfying. This is not Game of Thrones. Like, so how about you?
It was all right. Mm-hmm. I honestly prefer the first 2 episodes of this season more. I think they do a pretty good job of keeping you engaged. I thought the opening, outside of the fact that it is visually dark as fuck,
like, dude, everyone was
shit.
Dude, it's so funny. I was thinking as I was watching it, okay, I like said to my girlfriend, I'm like, this looks like darker than usual, don't you think? And then, like, I opened up Twitter, and the first thing I saw was Earl saying, like, he can't see anything. And I'm like, okay, that's me and one of my friends right away. And then, like, as I was updating through the night on Twitter, I'm like, everyone's saying it. So it wasn't, like, me being influenced by social media. I was one of the first ones, like, running to it going, like, I was going to say something. And I saw Earl. I was like, yeah, dude.
Right. Yes, it's all there. Yes, this is shit. Like, I thought it was visually very dark and hard to see some stuff early on. Once the fires start going, I thought it was okay. But it's an action sequence for the most part, where characters are put in ridiculous situations, yet somehow still all end up surviving.
Remember
the a handful of them, like, but I mean, And I understand why you like, look, at some point the character deaths were going to stop. Like you have to keep characters around. Like you're telling a story. You have three episodes left. Like you have to tell a story. You need characters to do that.
I mean, sure.
I mean, you
now's the time though. Like if you're going to have a massive, like it's very possible we could have came out of that episode with like two or three characters left.
You know what I mean? It depends on where they go with it. Right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you could still say it's unsatisfying because of that too. If you're also not satisfied with the direction of the story.
Sure.
Anyways.
I'm fine with it. I was not necessarily fine with the fact that Brienne and Jaime and Podrick, was it Gendry or someone, like they're up against a fucking wall, like surrounded by zombies, like for a half an hour. Like, come on. At some point, like the dead overwhelm you and you fucking die. Like that's just the reality of it. Like it's ridiculous at this point. Like Sam's literally rolling around on the ground. Like you're not dead.
It's almost like a fucking Benny Hill sketch. Yeah. It's almost like him becoming a meme. Cause it was like, it's already like the joke with him that he was like this weak person who like somehow killed, you know, a White Walker and shit. Right. And then it's just like,
with all the fucking destruction and death going on around you, you're literally rolling around on the ground
and like haplessly, like somehow surviving. There's things like that. Yeah. What's his name? Riding out and coming back, like the whole Dothraki. And then what's it, Jorah or something?
Jorah Mormont. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I get that. Like, honestly, if that was it, I would tell people, come on, you're nitpicking, man. Like, but it has a certain feel to me.
It was constant. Like it was like, constantly putting them in situations and then bringing them back from the brink with no real satisfying explanation of how they got there. I don't mind that, like, you're, you know, characters, as I said, you need characters to tell a story. You're not going to kill everybody off. And I understand that that's where people have come to expect of this series is like, hey, no one's safe. At some point, people were going to need to be safe.
I don't know.
Story. I also feel that like some people are, you posted something I saw on Facebook.
Yes. Like a quote from an article,
from
right?
The Slate article.
Yeah.
And I think that they have totally they bought into what they wanted this to be. This has always been a fucking fantasy film. Series that it, you know, has shielded itself in grim, dark dressing.
Okay. All right. So this is the same argument. I got into this argument on Twitter with Aaron, our friend Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing. Like, and I was kind of, I echo and I agree with the article on the premise of the fact of like what made Game of Thrones so amazing as a television show. Again, it's like I'm thinking of it as the medium of a TV show, like not as an adaptation of what the books were or whatever.
Right, right. You're right. Sure.
But like what made it stand out as a TV show was that, dude. Like was the fact that Ned Stark, fucking the main character, gets killed in season one. The main characters, like all of them, get fucking slaughtered in season two. And so it's just weird for me. Like I get what like you're saying. Like no, this is a fantasy story. It's gonna have the hero like quest and the ending.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's gonna end up specifically that way, but I feel it's always been pointing in that direction.
There's things that have been, but then like reality always comes back to slap in the face, at least when we were still stuck in the books. Like it feels like once the show left that, like there was a change in tone. Now you could say, well, he told them the way that it was going to go. Well, they're following what he said, and like that's his vision for it anyways. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if his book, if he ever does write it, is different.
Yeah, but I also think it will end up exactly the like, I don't think it'll be this grimdark
really
realistic setting that you want. Like he's a fucking fantasy writer. And the four books that I've read previous to this aren't much different than other fantasy books I've read. Like,
and I should say, I have not read his books. I'm basing it off of the adaptation.
So. Yeah, like, I mean, it is a longer adaptation, but there, it plays in. I don't think it plays with around really with the tropes of fantasy. Like they kill off characters. Like this is more realistic setting. Like whereas like, you know, magic isn't really a big thing. I mean, yeah, we have some magic. Melisandre shows up and yes, there's fucking zombies walking around, but you know, people aren't like throwing fireballs out their hand and shit like that. There aren't mages like casting spells and crap as like, there's not an army of wizards. So it's not like generic fantasy, but it's very much in a very specific fantasy that has been going on for years. That kind of like leads all the way back to Lord of the Rings.
It just felt like Martin had a very nihilistic, like survival of the fittest, like worldview. Like I felt like, to the point where like that was one of the messages of the show, was that like, no, the good guy doesn't always win. You know what I mean? Like, at least it felt that way. And then like, now it feels like you were like, I've got this all along and it was going to be a happy ending, but it's like,
I don't know if it's going to be a happy ending.
It feels untrue if it goes that way.
But like this idea that like, I don't know if it's going to be a happy ending. It could very much end. Like the other reality of this is that there's still three people that are very much like vying for this throne. John is, he is the rightful heir, I guess.
Yes.
To the throne. Dany is not going to want that.
I mean, she was, you know, the heir apparent before that, you know.
Right. Like and everything she's worked for her entire life has been to get there. And then Cersei is fucking sitting on the throne. So like there's going to be some shit over the next three.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's very likely that Dany isn't the hero. Like if she's the one that ends up sitting, she's not the hero of legend, right? Like
it just doesn't feel right anymore. That's her. It just doesn't.
Like if she were the one to get
it. No, it doesn't feel right.
No, because like she's wrong for it. Like
she's like a corrupt person, I think, at this point. Like it feels like it's subtle, like she thinks she's doing good, but she's, you could tell she has been corrupted by the power.
She may ultimately want to rule righteously, but her ultimate goal here has always been power.
Yeah.
Like it has always been power. She's not much different from Cersei. And John is like, nah, I don't know.
And I'll on it. The thing I was going to add to that is I feel that if I'm Arya, I feel like I'm putting my fucking name in this hat. Cause, I feel like I have a claim now after I saved the fucking world.
Let me see if I can. So I made a comment on a Discord server. Let me see if I pull it up because it was it's the weird theory that I have going forward for how this ends. And it would ultimately end, I guess, with a happy ending if it were to go that way. But it was so Cersei kills Brienne, Jaime kills Cersei, Dany kills Jaime, Sam kills Dany, John kills Sam, but he abdicates the throne. Sansa and Tyrion rule the kingdom, but Bran kills both of them as he jumps into a dragon. Arya kills Bran, and then Gendry and Arya rule the kingdom, but what's left of it? That's an overly happy ending.
I almost followed 50% of that. But, yeah, like, I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
I did come out, like, I don't know. I know a lot of people came out, like, very happy and satisfied with The Long Night. I did. It was fine. I was with the ending.
It's fun. Like, it was fun. But, like, my problem is I do think that I know it's called The Long Night, but, like, shoot it in the daytime. We're looking way better. Like, trying to do night and adding all those snow effects, like the blizzard effects, like
it made it
that shit just looked bad, and it looked worse streaming. Like, it just didn't look good. It was hard to see. Yeah, it was just like whatever. Like, there were parts that was cool though. Like, I love every time John was stepping out into like this, like the courtyard area, the dragon was just blowing the fucking blue flame at him. Like, that shit looked cool to me. Like, there's definitely like cool parts about it being at night. Like, it did, like, the whole sequence with like Arya in the library was like a horror movie. Like, it felt like a zombie movie. It was fucking great. Look, I had a good time with it, and that ending is super satisfying, dude. Like, I don't know. I didn't necessarily see it coming. I don't know if you did, but I was just like, even when he fucking caught her, because it's Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones has that fucking street cred, I thought he was going to kill her. Like, yeah, dude, I was like, oh, it is still Game of Thrones. But then I was like, oh, it's not. Like, but it was still like when she dropped it and fucking stabbed him in the gut, I got up and clapped, dude. I was so happy. Like, I don't know about you. I had a visceral reaction.
That was a satisfying moment. I know that you and Brian wanted a little more detail behind it.
Well, I just thought it would have been a nice touch if she was disguised. Like, if one of the generals behind him, like, morphed into her, like, or she took, like, her mask off, like, you know, she pulls the face off like that, like, with her hand.
Right.
Like, pulled it down, and then it was her and stabbed him. Like, that would have been cooler than just her jumping out of nowhere. Just because it's using more of her training.
I guess people are complaining that she's like how
it's
did
impossible.
She, yeah, like
also she's a Mary Sue. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Like, she spent four fucking seasons of the show training to do this.
Half of Game of Thrones was Arya training,
right?
The like, fuck like, up.
Her entire arc has been.
If that's
training.
Not a Mary Sue. Everything's a Mary Sue. Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm interested to see where it goes. This was the episode. If you were gonna like kill off major characters, it had to come here because, I mean, yeah, there's three episodes left, but and I'm sure some people are gonna die, but I don't think it's gonna end up with the like nihilistic ending that some people seem to want out of it because of how this episode played out. Like, that they seem to want like.
You know,
death and destruction. But who knows? Maybe Martin is like some sort of crazy nihilist, and that's what he has planned. Like, Cersei ultimately wins.
I mean, it just felt like the writing, the dialogue, all of it. It felt like it had a worldview that was, you know, the people who are the most cunning and the most willing to do whatever it takes. Were the people that win. Like, that felt like that was the message of the show. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if that's wrong. It wasn't like they weren't immune from the world either, but it just felt like they seemed to get further along than people that believed in noble things and doing, like, you know, Ned Stark believed in doing the right thing and, right. You know,
gets his head chopped off.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it goes, like, even if they fucking fuck the landing here, like, there were some seasons of this show that were just so fucking great. So,
I mean, I think we've said it before on here, but endings are hard.
Yeah.
They just are.
Sometimes they get them right, though. Like, I felt like the ending of The Shield was just about perfect. So, and then Breaking Bad wasn't bad.
Sure.
I'll go to bat for the Sopranos any day of the week. That's like a long debated one, but I love the ending of the Sopranos. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I would hate to come. Like, I just feel like one, the other thing is, like, we're like, you know, this is the episode, like, how they top this is, like, you know what's funny is, like, I think the best episode of the series is the Battle of the Bastards. And I was like, how do they follow this up with a finale? And then the finale starts with her blowing up the fucking Capitol. So I was just like, all right, well, you know, Game of Thrones knows how to top themselves sometimes. So I hope.
There's got to be at least one more battle.
All you got to do is, like, you got to do this magic trick one more time where you surprise us. Can you do it? You know what I mean? Because, like, they've been very good about it all throughout. So even right. in, like, the fan service-y stuff lately has been, like, sometimes, like, dude, when he took down the dragon and turned it into one of the White Walkers, like, that was an amazing moment, dude. It was like, whoa, no! You know, even though, like, I think people were, like, calling that was going to happen, like, it's just crazy. Anyways.
Yeah. It's been a fun ride. There's three more weeks left, so.
We'll be checking in, I'm sure, like, where need be, you know. I'm sure each episode will probably end up warning a discussion, so.
Yeah.
We'll usually have those at the end, probably.
Yep.
All right, so turn to next week for more Game of Thrones talk, more Final Destination talk.
Yeah, we're doing with Final Destination 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I will have also, at the very least, I will have Knock Down the House, this new documentary coming to Netflix. I'm excited about.
I may try and get out and see Long Shot, which is the new Seth Rogen.
Oh yeah, that comes out. Huh?
It's like a political, comedy, I guess.
I don't know what to think of it.
I did not know
that it was this weekend though. So
no, I saw the trailer. I'm like, I have not heard of this.
And I thought it was still like a month out.
Right. And then I looked at the release date calendar. I was like, it's fucking Friday. That movie's gonna get destroyed.
Yeah, I might check that out though.
I could use a comedy after all of this heavy emotional shit over the last couple weeks.
True. I think we'll have a decent amount of stuff for next week at the very least. So.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.